Hey, Potters! Version 2 of episode 57 from us, CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay, because version 1 was not very,
It was terrible.
Technology.
Say it as it is. It's terrible.
Amber's laptop is aging much faster than it probably should be.
But it's okay.
Anyways, it has been a spectacular week, both in terms of cosplay and weather. It is currently pouring sleet outside, and it was about 80 degrees yesterday. So for all those cosplayers who are currently sick, I'm sorry. Get well soon so you can work on cosplay and come to conventions with us. Just don't get everybody else sick.
Please.
Patient zero is never what you want to be at a con.
No, thank you.
Especially since we just started con season. I know Matsuri is coming up. All con is coming up. Phantom is coming up. If you're sick, stay home, please, so we can go.
We saw what happened at the Katsucon gazebo. Gave the germies to everyone.
He was indeed patient zero. But it was an awesome costume for being patient zero. So he gets forgiven a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. But anyways, we have actually had time to work a little bit on cosplay this week. And Val, since you have the larger accomplishment, why don't you go first?
Sure. I got my Amidala costume done. Yay, happy times. It's sitting in a giant bag in the corner of the room. That's probably not a good way to store your costume. I don't care. I don't have space right now. I'm trying to move things out of the way. But yeah, I'm really excited that it's all done, ready to go. And oh my goodness, I can hear the sleet outside. That sounds awesome. But I'm really excited to be wearing this in 2 weeks. All I have to do is just little things like getting rid of the exuberant amount of threads that are all over the costume right now. And yeah, I'm ready to wear it for all con. I'm so excited. I tried it all on today and I had this happy, girly, squee face going on. Ah! So thrilled. Happy cosplayer face.
Where can there be found pictures of this wondrous dress?
I'll tag it up here. Show notes, done. You have like half a picture of me like with my butt poof, and that's about it. I am so proud of my butt poof. Don't ask me why. The butt poof is epic.
I don't know what to say to that.
This is the odd segue into your project. Go.
Oddly enough, I've actually spent the last 4 days out of town doing symphony gigs, and because I am such a dedicated cosplayer, I actually took some of it to the hotel with me to work on while I was out of town with the symphony. And I forgot one crucial component, as, you know, we all have nightmares about doing at cons, and I forgot one. And so I couldn't work on the vast majority of it because I forgot my silver paint at home. So I did get a little bit of patterning done. Oddly enough, my roommate, who is one of the other girls in our section, had a blouse that needed mending, and so she mended it on my sewing machine, which was kind of strange, but very useful. You know, cosplay success. I get a Girl Scout badge for being prepared. So I sewed part of my cloak for Sif, and I worked a little bit more on my chainmail, which hopefully I'll be able to show here in just a little bit. It is the best thing since sliced bread use athletic mesh as chainmail. Seriously, it works so well. I was so happy with it. So I worked on that, and of course now I have my armor sitting next to me that I'll be working on as well, feverishly for the next 2 weeks, which, incidentally, I turn 30 within the next 2 weeks.
Woo!
Happy birthday to me, I get armor.
Forever 29.
So now that I'm like more and more officially getting into the whole cosplay elder status, hopefully I'll have time in there to take a day off for myself so I can celebrate before I have to go to AllCon and be a cosplayer again. And press, which we were accepted as press for AllCon, finally. So we will be there officially as press. So if there are any panels you guys want us to film while at AllCon, let us know. So that aside, I would like to introduce our guest, which I'm sure you guys have probably noticed already in the video.
Maybe just a little bit.
This is one of our loyal listeners and probably one of our biggest supporters. Alan, would you like to tell everybody a little bit about your cosplay background and what got you into cosplay?
Oh, I've been a long-term geek. I've been around in the geek community for a very long time, and I kept seeing these people in fabulous costumes, and I finally decided to try it a couple years ago. And I am... let's see, my wife refers to me as having the hobby of having hobbies. So I, of course, went all out, and I've got an amazing workshop and craft area. So I put together a Darth Malgus outfit, if you're familiar with it, but a lot of armor. And it was my very first costuming excursion, which was wonderful. And when I went to Comic-Con that year with the costume, it hit me in a way I was completely unprepared for. I don't think I was prepared for the reaction from other people to me, that I was kind of, I was just anticipating sort of being out there and showing off, and I perform a lot, so I'm very comfortable taking on a role and being big and performing in this piece. But kids would come up and want to be photographed, parents would bring, it was, I don't even know how to describe, I've never been able to describe the feeling of being in that, being that character, and having people react to me. It was completely unexpected, not what I was thinking. And then last year I had the opportunity to go, I don't know if you're familiar with the program Sleepy Hollow, rather major TV show. Well, I'm connected to somebody who created the show, and so I had a lot of materials in advance, and I decided I was going to go as a Headless Horseman, the whole complete piece, before the show had even come out. So I had the opportunity to do that, and I very elaborate costume, a lot of sewing. I watched a lot of your videos.
Thank you.
And, oh, because I'd never sewn much of anything. But instead, I'm sewing a period coat, full-on piece, you know, 18th century uniform. So it went, and also had to make it oversized so I could have my head be chopped off and the whole nine yards. So that, again, very impressive. I thought I would be the only one there. Because who's going to know that character of the TV show hadn't even started yet? And so I was all very excited about it all. And, of course, Fox then made 10 guys in similar outfits and sent them to the show. So not only was I not the only one there, everyone thought I had prizes to give out. So it was a completely unexpected, but completely different experience, but delightful nonetheless. I don't do a lot of costumes. I spend a lot of time doing animatronics and materials and craziness, and that's what led me to watching every one of your videos and trying to learn as much about armoring that you had to teach and as much about sewing as you both had to teach, and kept me coming back.
Alan's going to be the person I poke for my hardware knowledge from now on. Which I did order from McMaster's, actually, before I left for out of town. I finally ordered my binding screws.
They're a great company. It's one of those things, the communities I travel in, we all sort of knew it, so I was sort of sheepishly sending it to you as a suggestion, and when you went all gaga over it, I realized, oh, okay, maybe I know some things.
Oh, the prices were very reasonable.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, it made me laugh that they kept shipping a surprise until you got the invoice. They're like, appropriate shipping will be added to your invoice. It's like, okay, what is appropriate shipping? Surprise, it's $25. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was only about $5, but still. Yeah. I was like, okay. So now I have all these binding bolts I can use for armor forever.
As a hardware person, you can spend hours just sort of looking at all the different bolts and fasteners and connectors. And yeah, exactly.
I did.
When I saw you caressing your drill, your little utility tool, I figured you were the right kind of person to be exploring the past your catalogs.
Yes, I sheepishly admit that I was very excited to see that Harbor Freight is holding their parking lot sale next weekend. And needless to say, I will probably be making a stop when I am not out with family, celebrating family stuff. It's like, ooh, scroll saws are on sale. Scroll saw blades are on sale. And so is a bunch of the stuff you use with scroll saws.
And that's why I keep coming back to watch your show, is you made this offhanded remark about using a scroll saw for cutting EVA foam. I've got tool scroll saws. It never occurred to me. I always use the hot knife method. So I'm out there now cutting everything on the damn scroll saw. It's just so much...
It's cleaner.
It's like
faster.
Butter.
I was surprised. I actually ended up getting that tip from someone who works with Vulpin, which, for those in our audience who don't know who Vulpin is, he's a very well-known, popular prop and armor maker who does a lot of his work with fiberglass and EVA foam, which are the giant foam mats that you've seen me playing around with. And his buddy who works in a shop was like, Oh, yeah, we do this all the time in the shop. We cut Eva with scroll saws because it's so much faster, and you can cut curves faster with it than you can with a hot knife, and you get the same clean edges. And so I was like, ooh, I have to try this. Mm. And I did, and I was just stunned. I was like, wow, why did nobody ever tell me this before? I could have saved myself so much time and vegetable paring knives. You do what you have to do for the sake of cosplay. Which, if that means sacrificing a couple of paring knives, I will do it. Which, unfortunately, you can't cut styrene with a scroll saw, or I would be doing that too. Mm. Which, I love styrene. Except
you
for
guys have these big fancy tools. I have just sewing needles. I've gone through 3 this week alone. I should pull out my beading needle, but it's in a bag right now. It used to be nice and flat, but now it's like almost at a 90-degree angle.
So you know what you do? You use it as a carpet needle. That's what those
are
for.
That's actually what I'm going to do. I've been beating so much that it's just like, it's worthless now.
Also yeah, wonderful for wig threading.
True.
But you say just, and I mean, from my perspective, what you do with the sewing machine is magic.
So and you know, it's vice versa with me, because like all the things you guys do with armoring and props, I'm just like, how do you make these things happen? I don't understand. My brain cannot compute this.
Right.
So yeah, it goes both ways.
And I'm somewhere in the middle, and I marvel at both. And I learn both. I am equally bad at both sewing and prop making. Which I actually have my props laying on the floor. That was the one thing I had an issue with last weekend when I put up my pegboard in my new bookcase. As now I have more room for storing hardware. Now I have no wall space to hang my props.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here going, great. I have 2 swords, 2 staves, 2 pole arms, 2 daggers. Where the heck am I supposed to put this stuff and not freak out my neighbors? I usually try and hang it on the wall opposite the window so they don't see it when they walk past my apartment. Not that they haven't seen me walk out of my apartment with a whole bunch of different prop making materials, dressed in costumes or anything.
Right.
Like that
anyway.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm used to the weird looks by now. At any rate, this episode is called Amber's Armory for a reason, and that's because I've had a couple different requests of people wanting to see how I've been making my Sif armor. Which, thank you, Marvel, this past weekend, they just released a whole bunch of screenshots because Lady Sif will be on S.H.I.E.L.D., the television show.
Yay!
Within the next couple of weeks, and so they released a whole bunch of little advanced screenshots, and I was like, ooh, why couldn't I have had all these high-res shots earlier? This would have made my life so much easier. As a costumer, I'm not a very creative person. If you don't show me what the back of a costume looks like, I have no idea what the back of the costume is supposed to look like, and I can't really invent it very well. So now that they have all the different angles of all the different pieces of the costume, it's like, that's how it's supposed to look. Hey, I can do that. And it's much easier. So, of course, I brought out my pattern pieces. Val, I am so sorry. I should have done this out of newspaper.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's what you get.
After watching your well, I actually did the patterning before you did the newspaper tutorial.
Oh, okay.
And I just didn't have time to redo it, which I had actually been hoping to do. Because if listeners have never tried forming patterns out of things like poster board, you will find that it does not take curves very well.
Mm-hmm.
At all. not very well. At all.
At all.
And newspaper can, because you can layer it over itself. It's not quite as stiff.
Exactly. Unless you want to make it stiff, and then you just use a lot of tape.
Right. And you can also, you know, we did this in elementary school where you kind of age newspaper by crumpling it up and kind of damaging the fibers, and that actually makes it softer so that it's more like fabric.
Yep.
And then you can drape it to an extent. It's still difficult to drape the newspaper, but you can drape it.
You can do it.
So that makes pattern making easier than it was with poster board, which, because poster board does not take curves, I found out very quickly that neither does craft foam. And so
we need to get you on the Warbla train.
Well,
even I'm using Warbla, and I don't do this stuff.
While I was out in West Texas with the symphony, when I had downtime, kind of in between bouts of reading 200-page chapters of technical, you know, computer books, I actually sat down and tried to find a supplier that sells Warbler in bulk.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Not just single jumbo sheets, but actually in bulk. But I could not find it any cheaper than $65 for the very large sheet. And a very large sheet, realistically for me, is maybe enough for a breastplate, gauntlets, and maybe, you know, pauldrons. That's it. It's not enough to do maybe all of Sif. And that made me a little sad. It's like, you know, if I'm paying $65, I'd really love to get a whole suit of armor out of it. Especially since, you know, yes, you can use up scraps of Warbler, but there's only so much there to work with. You can't, you know, if you run out, for example, if you miscut a piece, it's not like you can go down to the local store and get another sheet. You have to order another sheet and wait. And, you know, Yaya travels a lot. So, not her fault, but sometimes it can take up to 2 weeks to ship the stuff. So, that was what got me thinking about the 2 liters over the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
Because I've been budgeting for a 3D printer. I really want a 3D printer because it will print, you know, little design symbols, decor for your costumes out of plastic, but it will also print prototypes. So if I wanted to cast a gem of a certain size, I could print that in plastic, make a silicone mold, and then cast it in resin and get an exact replica of what I need. And then I can just use that plastic gem for other molds, or, you know, I can melt it down and print it into something else. So it would be useful for mold making. And so I sat there looking at it going, okay, what kind of plastics do these things use? And they use PLA, which is more or less friendly plastic. It's a very soft plastic. Very affordable, very cheap, you know, in wide use. And then I found out it's used in 2-liter bottles and milk jugs, among other things. And so they've been trying for a long time to make little reclaimer machines where you could just chuck a whole bunch of chunks of your 2-liter bottles and milk jugs into it, and it'll print out thread, which is what they use, strangely enough, to print 3D models. They use thread, plastic thread. It's like monofilament, but better. And it doesn't break. So I sat there going, you know, I wonder if I could use cut-up 2-liter bottles like friendly plastic.
Right.
Can I melt it with a heat gun to patch holes, in other words? Not to form whole breastplates or whole pieces of armor. There's not enough in a 2-liter bottle for that without seams. But it could potentially work really well to actually, you know, go over holes in seams. And you could use it potentially for gauntlets, just because they're about the right size, depending on your forearm length. It's like, ooh, heat gun experiment.
Yes.
But I have to do it outside.
More chance to burn yourself.
I won't burn. If I didn't light the styrene on fire, I'm not going to light the 2-liter bottle on fire.
So you say.
I will do my best. That is all I can say. Which is also why I do it outside, so that it does not set my smoke detector off angrily. So, back to the...
All I just ask is that you record this should a fire actually break out.
There will be photographic evidence of some sort. It'll probably have to be pre-recorded because it's really difficult, since I don't have a socket outside, to get my electronics outside where I will have to be to work with said plastic, because apparently it produces very noxious fumes when you heat up 2-liter bottles and plop.
Right, which is fine. As long as I have just a picture of you
no
next to fire, cut it out for YouTube, we're all good.
So what I will do for your sake, because I know you really want to see this, is I'll just take a little bit of rubbing alcohol, put it on the 2-liter bottle, I will light it, and then I will take a picture like this.
Yes!
And then I will send it to you, and then I will extinguish it and do my work.
And then I'm going to use that for every single one of our little YouTube clips ever.
That'll be the cover image for our channel on iTunes, because iTunes... You're supposed to have an image for your podcast,
right?
And then one for each episode if you want it. So, if you guys ever find funny images from any of our shows that you enjoy, if you get one of those awkward screenshots of us, you're always welcome to either give us a timestamp or send us one, and we can use it on iTunes. As long as it's family friendly.
No problem humiliating ourselves is what we do.
Yeah. So, I've actually started cutting up my pattern here with my armor. This is the back piece right here. Originally, I cut it as one piece, thinking I could heat form it around myself, because craft foam, you know, is flexible. It does take some curve. But I found out from experience, which learn from my mistakes so you don't make them yourself, craft foam does not bend in multiple planes. You cannot do compound curves without actually cutting it into slices like an orange, and most seamstresses and seamsters are probably familiar with the concept of darts. So you have to cut darts in it for it to take compound curves. Unfortunately, women are not flat, nor will we ever be, and we're always going to have that problem with armor.
Really?
Yay!
Which is why you saw that I had such problems with my breastplate the first time, and why you see so many cuts in it. And incidentally, I used paper mache as a filler for the seams, and unfortunately it caused it to come unglued a little bit, because it lifted up the adhesive from underneath, which was very strange. So if Walmart has it, I'm going to try and get my hands on Bondo, or if the two-liter thing works, I may be able to seal my seams with plastic. But I'm actually going
to...
waiting
for the fire to start, that's all.
So I'm not doing it this episode. I'm going to try and use fabric to cover up some of these awkward seams, since I can't seem to fill them correctly, and I don't really need a gallon container of Bondo, because I haven't even tried it yet. I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to use it. Walmart, quart-sized containers. Pint-sized containers would be even better. Just saying. If they want to sponsor us... I'll be happy to try out some of their products.
Good luck with that.
But I actually got some of the curve in my armor here under the bust, which in sewing they call this an empire seam. When I first put the foam on here and I was paper macheing it, I tied a piece of string right here, and I pulled it tight around the middle so it would draw it up underneath, which is why you see it's tied around the back like a halter top. It's very cute. But it makes it easy for fitting, too, because then I can just hold the cord around myself so I can fit with one hand, even though it's plastic. So what I need to actually do is take this off. Of course, I double-knotted it. Good for me! I don't even
Which
know
means it'll be a bigger pain to unknot it all.
Yeah.
I say, while you're doing that, Alan, what kind of materials do you typically work with?
Well, the EVA foam. In fact, Amber and I went back a little bit forth about why she was using up so much of the poly dip on the or plastic dip on her EVA foam, because I didn't have that same problem where it was absorbing so much. And I think I heat treated. Did you try, Amber, the heat treating?
I hadn't had a chance because I was doing Symphony this week. My heat gun experimentation next weekend will also.
Right, I was trying to figure out why your experience was so different than mine, and that's the only thing I can think of is that I heat treat before. Before then putting on the Plastidip, and I just wasn't having that same problem. But then again, the armor that I'm creating, the Darth, any of the Star Wars armor, is that thick, almost foamy-looking stuff anyway, so it's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect match, whereas the Sith armor and a lot of the other metal armors, you want that thin, more flexible sort of material, unless you go with aluminum.
Right, exactly. Unless we get some real stuff and start cutting into it.
I debate that. You know, sometimes like, maybe I'll just make this out of aluminum and be done with it, but I also am aware of weight.
Yeah, there's some guys out there who are more than happy to do the real chain mail. They'll go the full 9 yards, and you're just like, man, that's 20 pounds you have to walk around in for a couple hours? Oh, no thanks. Pass.
Even aluminum rings are heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get the light stuff. Now they have titanium rings, which are very light, and they cost a fortune.
That's exactly why.
But it looks awesome. Just saying. It does look awesome.
Hmm. Closer to the mithril.
There we go.
That would be so cool. I want a mithril shirt.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But good luck.
Okay. So what I'm going to have to do with this, I'm going to scoot this over a little bit so you can see it better, is I'm going to have to cut it into parts, basically. Because if I wrap it around the dummy like this, I'm not going to get very far. So this is kind of the... Amber has to cut darts to accommodate her curves part. So I started out on the front by breaking it into three parts to see if three would be enough, center, side, side. On the front, that actually wasn't enough. I had to break it into five different pieces, which it's a little bit of trial and error. I try not to break it into too many pieces because I'm sure Alan can attest to this. Seams can be difficult to hide sometimes and to make smooth.
Yeah, I'm comfortable carving, though. Again, your Black & Decker tool will help you when it comes to carving and sanding that stuff down, but the edges are a point you just have to round out.
Right, and it may actually end up requiring filler, much like the front of my breastplate did.
Right, Bondo does cover a lot of ills.
Yes, which I believe Matt Lewis has something to say about that.
Say no to Bondo, kids.
Not a fan of Bondo.
And Nerf guns.
Which, if anybody who listens to our podcast has not heard of Bondo, Alan, can you describe a little bit about what Bondo is?
Oh, man. It actually comes from cars, car repair. It's a polymer, but it's... I don't know what the fundamental materials are. I think of it like fiberglass. It's not. It's a different material. But it is used as a way to fill gaps. So it's a thick material. It can be used to be smooth. After it dries, it's easily sandable and formable. And so it is a very handy way to, again, add the sort of curves or the connections between pieces that have to be cut straight for whatever reason, pretty much what you're doing there. I don't use a lot of it because it's heavy. So when I do sorts of repairs, at one time I was sort of coating everything and then coming back and sanding it, and that is just makes it extremely heavy. So the more that I can carve foam or other materials and then just patch or fill in gaps with Bondo, that's where I generally go. But you can buy it at a lot of different hardware stores.
Hardware store visit!
Yeah.
Which I did last weekend, right before I pulled my pegboard. I'm sure there's other cosplayers that have had this experience, but single women walking into a hardware store tend to get weird looks.
Yeah.
I always get the, ma'am, can I help you with anything? No, I know my way around, thanks.
Yeah.
It's like guys have the same problem if they ever have to go into the makeup section of a store, because cosplay does use makeup sometimes for men.
Mm. Or being the only guy in the fabric store, yeah.
Yep.
That too.
Yeah.
It also depends on which ones. If you go to, like, the Joann's or the Hobby Lobby, yeah, then they give you looks. But if you go to, like, one of the more, you know, local fabric stores where it's just a mom-and-pop shop, they're just like, oh, it's just another one of them. Okay. They tend to be like, whatever.
Especially if you go in with pictures of what you're doing and then look at it and they're like, oh, it's one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those weird costume people.
Yeah, right.
I'm not in the hardware store very often, but the one time I did go was to get pieces for my lightsaber, and I remember three guys asking me if I needed help with anything, and the third guy, I was like, I'm just getting pieces for a lightsaber. And he just like, okay, and then just left me alone.
Really?
I was trying to be polite and say, no, I don't need help. I got this. I know exactly what I need. But the third guy, I was like, all right, I'm tired of you people asking me. Didn't bother to help me after that point.
Yeah, I was looking in the background, Alan. It looks like you've got a few props hanging up behind you.
Oh, yeah, actually, I don't know if I can show you the current piece that I'm working on there.
Ta-da!
It's kind of hard to describe. First of all, it's on one of your amazing forms. I made one of the body forms.
Duct tape dummies!
Right after you put that thing out, I went off and decided, okay, and had my wife standing there taping me down for an hour. But she was amused.
That's
it was
awesome.
Fun.
That's a bonding experience.
Exactly. And then there's a...
Nice pun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was not intentional, I promise.
Oh. I'm rubbing off on her.
I know.
Anyway.
But there's an FX... I forgot what the term was. See, you put me on screen, I blank out completely on my terminology. This thing, which is used for supporting special effects. They use it in movies and the like when they have to have, like, blood coming out of somebody or adding an extra arm.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's a corset, that's it. It's a special effects corset. And it's made like a corset, but I made it and decided that was one of my sewing challenges, was to put this thing together. And then there's an aluminum superstructure around it, and I don't know if you can tell, the proper species is called an Athorian, but most people know it as that hammerhead creature from Star Wars. And so the eyes will be animatronic. You can see one eye that I'm sort of working on and getting put together, and there's a foam outer core before the skin and the rest gets put on. But that's the kind of way I roll. I spend a lot of time making these complex, crazy armatures and features.
Absolutely.
Hence the hardware. I go through a lot of hardware.
The only time I've ever seen someone actually make one of those is they did a full live cast, and it was all like a latex head. So nothing was moving, but it still looked pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I saw maybe the same picture. I haven't seen a whole lot of people trying it, but yes, that's what I've seen is that sort of fixed thing, which still looks amazing and is
cool.
And it's got all those problems like, well, how do you see out of the hump?
Exactly.
You still have to solve all those problems.
Hmm.
But I decided, I have some puppetry background, so I decided to go ahead and start making the eyes so they can blink and the rest of it, and the head will turn.
Very
basically
cool.
Basically, I want to scare children.
It's hard to do that with Star Wars costumes, I found, because when I'm in my Sith costumes, I find that more kids run up to me wanting pictures. I don't scare them as often.
That's it. I mean, I'm Darth Malgus.
Yeah.
You know, just killing. He destroyed the Jedi Temple, right? So, and little children are running up and wanting to play, and that's fine because I'm also willing to play that they're beating me, right? Again, I'm comfortable in those roles.
Yeah, I do the same
thing too. And they love that, so their parents are taking the pictures of them beating Darth Malgus, so it's great fun.
We're supposed to be evil Sith. We're supposed to be destroying the galaxy, not being nice to little kids.
Yes.
Good luck with that. Let me know how it turns out.
Right? I get kids who are more afraid of me when I'm wearing my Raven costume than I am of my Sith costumes. That's
really?
Kind of backwards, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only time they ever run up to me is when I pull out my little Beast Boy plushie, because then they want to hug the plushie. Then they ignore me completely.
Well, do they know who you are? I mean, is it just a looks scary costume? Okay. Yeah.
Everybody's like, it's Raven, it's Raven. It's they know the character.
Right.
But they don't want to come up to me. They want to just wave from far away. You know, it's kind of weird. It's a little backwards.
Yeah. Then again, maybe
just
it's your scary nature. That's it.
I'm always meant to be a villain. I'm not meant to be a good guy.
I'm not capable of being a bad guy. I'm not capable. I can be a good guy the whole time. You make me some sort of villain, I'm looking at you like, okay, I roll over you with.
That's how the relationship works. She's the good one, I'm the bad one. Except she plays with fire a lot more than I do.
That's true, you do go against type a lot.
Yes, but fire doesn't necessarily have to be destructive. It is pretty.
Pretty fire?
And it is useful.
Explain that, please.
Spinning fire poi is pretty.
Oh, God, yeah, no, fire is hypnotic.
If anybody has not seen my Texas Renaissance Festival firepoint videos, feel free to go back and look in our Facebook, where I literally dance with fire on chains. No, it's not kinky.
Page with a picture of Amber and then some really bad clip art fire next to each other.
Yes, she made clip art fire right next to me.
It seemed appropriate.
And it was, although you could have taken a still with real fire, and it probably would have had about the same effect.
It was funnier and cuter with the pixel, you know, the clip art fire.
Which I'm still, I want to be Embercraft cosplay.
Why did you pick it?
Because I believe we disqualified said person because they were related to us.
Yeah, I know, but you still could have chosen that as your option and just given the prize to somebody else.
Exactly.
It's your costume name. You pick what you want.
Oh, I'm fine with the name I have. I'm just still getting used to having to blog as myself under three different names now. This whole social media thing is not for me. I'm not good at it.
Yeah, I'm the one who manages her Facebook page.
She does the social media, I do the website. It works.
It's a good compromise for the two of us.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a reasonable social media presence. Yeah, it works out.
Yes, which...
Hit 300 likes, by the way. Yay!
Yes. Thank you, listeners, for helping us hit 300 likes and for potentially getting us a letter from our web host that we are using too much bandwidth.
Just a smidge. Too much bandwidth. Oh, my goodness.
Have you gotten that complaint yet, or are you just
not
afraid
yet.
Of it?
Not yet, but we also just reached the end of the month, and I haven't looked at our stats. I have no idea how much bandwidth we actually used in the month of February, but we know that at the halfway point it was half a terabyte, so by process of deduction, we probably used a full terabyte. Mm-hmm. At least, if not more.
And we've never used that much before.
I don't even think we used that much, like, for the the last few months of 2013. And then all of a sudden we interviewed Kamui, and then
and
poof,
then goes,
and we exploded. Sea fire is a good thing.
and those numbers have kept up, right?
Yes.
No, that's great.
Which is a very good thing, and we're perpetually... We want to be popular, but not for the sake of being popular. We want to be popular because it extends our reach. And we can get more ideas from other cosplayers and exchange ideas.
Sure.
Because learning is fun! We need to... If I had animation skills, I would totally do a Schoolhouse Rock on cosplay. That would be...
Oh, my goodness.
And it would go viral. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Is this part of our musical interlude that we're doing in the future?
No, because we have not gotten to 20 reviews and 20 ratings on iTunes.
Do we even have one?
Therefore, yes, we do have one.
Woo!
You can thank Darth Sunshine for that one. I know exactly who it was, too, because she said something
I'll say
afterwards.
Thank you to her at all, God.
But since we have not reached our decided goal, then no. Yes, there is not a musical cosplay in the future.
Okay, good.
Planned. There's always
I'm more than willing to embarrass myself, but man, that would be a lot of work.
Wait, we don't do that every 2 weeks?
Yeah. Singing is a whole new monster.
That's what this is, right?
Pretty much for our amusement, mostly.
That too, and it is a good learning experience, which this way you guys can see what I'm doing. I'm kind of holding it together with my fingers, but you can see that I'm getting sort of darts built in because I had to cut it apart to fit around the curves of my dress form, which thank you, Val, again, for duct taping me for that episode. This has proven very useful. Still want to fiberglass it or put it in silicone.
Oh, my goodness. She wants to harden it so that way she can heat form her armor right on top of it without it going...
Yes. Yes, because once fiberglass cures, you cannot reheat it to reform it like that. So if I coat it in fiberglass, I can heat form right onto it. And if I do silicone, I can paper mache directly onto it, and it'll come off.
You got
always
options.
Scheming. Yeah.
Don't mind my weird, wacky ideas. I'm totally going to take over the world one day, just whenever I get around to it. I'm a terrible procrastinator. I will never actually get around to doing it.
That's a t-shirt.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's a great t-shirt.
We'll sell it in our cosplay store that we have eventually. It'll be for casual cosplay.
There we go.
Go full multimedia empire.
If I had the ambition and the time, I would consider it. And I know we could be bigger in that sense than we are, but... Yeah, I'm lazy, I procrastinate, and I'm still in school.
And trifecta, sure.
Which are very important things.
Hey, by May, one of those won't be an issue for either of us anymore, so...
True. Thankfully,
now we used to work on procrastination and laziness.
Yeah, and then I will go bald, no offense, Alan. to get ready
oh
for
dear
certification
Lord, I'm
exam.
Writing off now. You've offended me just by mentioning God, or the other way. Oh my God, I'm bald. I had no idea.
Well, when I start studying for my cert exam, I may very well go that way.
There we are.
Not that it's necessarily a bad thing in the summer or for motorcyclists, which I do both. So. At least I would be well aerated as I'm riding my motorcycle, which currently is an icicle, incidentally, because of all the sleet.
You know, I'm curious to see what it looks like outside. Hang on.
I have a motor icicle. Again.
Aha, funny.
I'm getting really tired of having to thaw my bike.
Ooh, more sleet's coming down. Yippee.
This is Texas.
Fun times
in
Texas.
It was 80 yesterday. Literally. It was 80 degrees.
It was.
And now
I had to
it's
put sunscreen
outside.
On and go outside.
And it's like, you know, as if we needed more excuses for more Frozen cosplay. Really? We have plenty of Frozen cosplay. No offense to the Frozen cosplayers or to the movie. Fantastic movie. Beautiful costumes. We have 10,000 Elsas.
Oh my God, there's so much. Okay, here's the thing, and we've been doing this back and forth for a little bit.
Just a little.
Just a little, because I'm the one who puts up all the daily photos on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Usually takes me 5 minute tops. Maybe about a minute to search for one, because usually it's like right there, first thing on Google, ooh, that's a great photo. Let's stick it up as our cosplay of the day photo. With all of these Frozen cosplays that have now popped up and convention season going into full swing, it's taking me like 10 to 15 minutes because like the first three pages of Google are nothing but Frozen cosplays. And nothing against the Frozen cosplayers, but I think I don't want to post that every day. There are other things that are going on out there, so.
Which, you know, if somebody wants to start a Frozen podcast, by all means, go right on ahead.
There's a League of Legends ones for cosplayers of League of Legends.
There you go.
Why not?
So if somebody wants to do it, feel free. We just can't feature them every single day.
Oh my goodness. So many.
We love cosplay. We also love variety.
So many.
Yes.
Oh, so many.
See, I look outside and I want to go, so, do you really want to build a snowman? This is my next step, as I'm sitting here kind of masking tape strips across my seams, because obviously I'm missing space here that I will have to fill in, and that's where paper mache comes in. Paper mache is awesome, and incidentally I'm going to try something new when I go to the store tomorrow night, is the paper mache recipes that I have seen in the UK call for linseed oil.
Mm-hmm.
And linseed oil is a hardener. It makes it dry, rock hard, basically. That's how they can make vases and literally furniture out of paper mache. So since Walmart sells it in very nice quart-sized containers,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get myself one. It's about $8. And I'm going to use that in some of the paper mache because I only do one layer, more or less just to hold this together before I put styrene on top of it.
Now, are you going to do it with your wood glue or without the wood glue?
That I don't know. I'm inclined to try it with first and do my regular, you know, one-third white, one-third wood, one-third hard coat Mod Podge,
mm-hmm.
and then put linseed oil on top of that, like it's seasoning for a salad, and see how that goes.
That's not going to be very tasty, but okay.
I'm not going to eat it. I don't need spackling, even though it looks like frosting.
Mmm, spackle.
Which I always have to warn people, do not actually try and eat your hardware chemicals, even though, you know, resin kind of looks like it could be delicious candy, hard candy. No, do not eat it.
It's so crazy how so many things that are so dangerous to us, they look like food substitutes. Oh my goodness, what's my favorite one?
This is why they have to put warning labels on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Do not use hair dryer in the shower. They actually have to put on these chemicals. Do not consume.
Yeah, this is my favorite casting equipment whenever I'm doing live casting stuff. And I swear, this sometimes it either looks like cake batter, or it looks like angel food cake, or it looks like frosting. Really fluffy frosting. It's just not right. I love how it says non-toxic, but it's so totally toxic. Do not eat.
It's non-toxic provided you do not eat it.
Yeah. Just don't shove it in my face and lick it and up my nose and all that stuff. Then it's fine.
So I found something else on the paper mache forums that I was looking at the other day. Because I'm perpetually, as a cosplayer, trying to look for not necessarily the perfect recipe, but better materials to use for armor mm-hmm. that are cheap, somewhat quick. I mean, yeah, you may have drying time, but it's not like you have to sit there for hours and work on it. And will be hard, will be durable. And apparently Home Depot and Lowe's both sell fiber insulation that is of recycled paper fibers. And you can get, for $7, I think it's a 10-pound bag. It's really inexpensive. And then I looked at the ingredients and I go, okay. Oh, wait, they mentioned something in the forum about there being something in here that might cause cancer.
Oh.
So, like a good cosplayer and a good educated citizen, I go and read the MSDS sheet, Material Safety Data Sheet, for those who don't know. Yay, science was good for something. Thank you, Bill Nye. And so I read it, and it's like, oh, hey, by the way, there's boric acid in this. And it's like, oh. So you tell me it's non-toxic, and then you tell me I cannot touch it because it may cause me cancer. So it is non-toxic until I touch it.
Sweet.
Good job, guys. I don't think that counts as
non-toxic.
It's just me. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure boric acid kind of negates the whole non-toxic thing. They tell me white glue is non-toxic too, and that doesn't really incline me to want to put it in my mouth like kindergartners do to check it and make sure it's not toxic.
Right.
It's totally safe to eat. Not.
I would not know. I did not do that as a kid. I did not stick glue in my mouth.
Well, he just didn't live.
Oh, no. I hit myself on the head. That was plenty. I think that's what caused me not to eat glue. I didn't do that. I hated finger painting as a kid. And I didn't like going outside for recess.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you're not normal.
When did you notice? I wanted to stay inside and read books.
You're weird.
Uh-huh. I spend all my free time making costumes now. Totally weird, but totally worth it.
Substitute one thing for another.
It's okay. I think there was a post by one of our friends on Facebook recently where they had mentioned about professors giving homework because a lot of us are in school. And she says, I hate homework. Doesn't professor know that I have to spend my free time dressing up like an anime character?
Nice. By the way, I think you need to wake up your camera.
Uh-oh. Did my camera go to sleep? No?
I think it did. You're back up now.
Okay. I didn't have any activity in there for a little while, so it probably...
It went to sleep mode.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to do it too much so that I don't hog the camera time because it will change every time I make noise.
Oh, I know. You're good.
So I'm just sitting here trying to take this together and then make sure it's at the right height. Because it's supposed to be a corset. It's supposed to kind of be an armored corset. Why the heck would anybody wear a corset into battle, man? That doesn't make any sort
chicks.
Of sense to me. Like, why? Why would you do that?
Armor for ladies is not meant to be functional. It's meant to be stylish.
Clearly.
Otherwise, then we wouldn't have boot plates.
Did you follow that? God, it was a blog that was about women in armor, and it was... really functional armor. This woman went out and found all these amazing pictures of functional armor, pictures and illustrations, and it was amazing to see just really how mm-hmm. different sort of the typical portrayal of women in armor is versus what she was finding and posting.
That stuff was really cool, yeah. I know I've linked it before in my personal blog. It was just like, here's real armor, here's the fake armor. Do we not see what's wrong with these images here?
Yeah.
And even in the case of Lady Sif, even though it looks a lot more functional than most armor that we're used to seeing, it's still a little ridiculous. Mm.
It's certainly probably not what a normal woman would wear if she were actually going into battle.
Right.
Well, she's standing next to two other guys going into battle. You can see the difference in the costume pretty quickly.
Yes. Most definitely.
Yeah.
I think even Thor probably has more armor on him.
Oh,
it's functional.
Yeah.
And then Amber gets to stand next to me, and I'm in a corset, so woohoo!
Yes.
I'm in the least functional armor.
So at least I will have somewhat functional armor on when I'm standing next to you.
Yeah.
At least until you get into your Amidala dress. Yeah, and then I'll look really contrasty.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Though I don't think you'll be around to help me for that. I've already conned somebody else to help me.
Yeah,
you don't have to babysit me.
I would have volunteered, except that I will also be doing press at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be
in
recording
the contest that you are entering. I will have to be filming you in that said contest.
Woohoo!
Val, which I have also opted not to enter.
Val, did you say you timed how long it took you to get into that costume?
Yep.
How long?
It was 15 minutes and 47 seconds.
Oh, not bad.
No, and I was smart about it, and this is so silly. I always think about how long it's going to take me to get into pieces, because I don't like being a big burden to everybody else. I try to make costumes where I put them on myself, so I don't have to worry about people helping me or carrying my crap around. Like, I even made an invisible pocket on the side of the dress so I can stick my car keys and stuff in, so nobody has to carry anything for me.
Right.
But yeah, so I made sure that I made it in pieces, that certain things attach in a certain way so that I can easily get in and out of it as necessary.
And you can do it by yourself.
I can do it all by myself.
Great.
It's going to take me more time to put on my face paint than it is getting into the dress, which is nice.
That's something I've not tried yet. Malgus needs to be a white face, and I've not done the face paint, and you two scared me about the eye contacts, so I haven't tried that.
We're bad examples on the contacts. I know a lot of people who have great experiences with them.
I had literally bought them at Comic-Con and was driving back listening to your podcast when you were going on and on about, you know, I could go blind or walleye or I don't know what from these things.
There
I don't
is know. Certainly
Maybe
that
I'm rushing into this.
But there's that risk with normal contacts, too. So.
Well, and I don't wear contacts, so that's the other thing. It's like, maybe I'm taking too many steps at once.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who have nothing but great experiences with the color contacts and the different stuff. The only thing that I've heard that's universal is just to go to your eye doctor and walk with them through the process of getting it into your eye and making sure everything is good from there.
That's what I decided. By the time I was back home and rationally thinking again, I thought, talk to an eye doctor.
After we freaked you out.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to go to the experts anyway, because we are certainly not.
Ooh. Which is funny, the one guy who I'm making a commission for the summoner armor from Final Fantasy XIV, he asked me questions about contacts, and I was like, you've been watching my page for a while, right? I don't wear contacts. I'm the last person you want to ask questions about, but here's 20 other people I can recommend. Oh my goodness. Obviously a fan if he was watching my page so well.
There you go. There's something to be said for that.
Yep.
So I'm actually having a little bit of trouble getting this taped the way I want it to be, just because women are curvy.
And so I'm seeing it bulging and
it's going to until I trim out little pieces here and there, and some of it is actually going under.
Yeah, the compound curves are hard.
Yeah, which I'm finding, and you can only fix so much of that, to be honest, unless you're using a material that is truly meant for compound curves, like Warblow or Wonderflex, that you are meant to be able to curve it in multiple planes at the same time.
Of course, you could go the other way, which I think I got from some video of yours, but I actually use this technique a lot, which is to cover it with either plastic or aluminum foil and then form tape, and then after you've got the form, cut it up into pieces so you understand what pieces you need to actually put it together. Mm-hmm. I think I got it from one of your talks, but Ithorian, I do that a lot. I form it with whatever material, tape it all down so I like the structure, and then cut up the piece later to determine the pattern for the foam or whatever I'm going to use materials for.
Yeah, I do that a lot with cellophane and cling wrap.
Yeah, right. That's right. It was a headpiece or something that you were doing.
Mm-hmm. You got it. I got the piece around here somewhere.
We know that's meant for curves.
Because it'll stick to anything.
Yes, and it will curve to just about anything, too.
Oh, yeah. It's very convenient.
And foil can be recycled once you're done, you know, using it. You can use it to wrap leftovers. Just saying. I prefer to be eco-friendly.
Oh, silly you.
So I like plastics, too, because generally they are recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
Go green.
Wow.
I'm weird. Hi.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
Yes, this is one of those things where I'm going to end up having to tie a ribbon around this again, I think, to pull in the curves more tightly. If I had had my way, I probably would have paper mache directly to the form over something like cling wrap, put directly onto it, just so I could remove it, and then just go from there. So I hear my neighbors are coming home. Why is she not making as much noise as she normally does on the weekends? I spent all last weekend sanding with my rotary tool. I made a giant mess in my apartment. My vacuum was not happy with me.
Not surprised.
It was just fine. It was just very noisy.
Mm-hmm.
Sanding is very noisy business, but you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And armor makers know you have to do it over and over and over and over and over again to get the surface you want. You can't just sand twice and be done unless you're using a product like plastic that generally doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you get to sand until the cows come home. And even that may not be enough. You do the other side, which I'm not going to sit here and paper mache in front of you. This is just so that you kind of see the process of the patterning. And sometimes the mistakes that Amber makes in making the shape, because it doesn't actually work the way that she thought it would in her head,
mm-hmm.
or on her body, for that matter.
These are all one-of-a-kind pieces. We're constantly making it over and over and over again until we get it the way that it should lay.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you'll thank yourself later for taking the time to do it that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I make the whole thing
less
twice.
Work.
Yeah. It's not that I make the whole thing twice, but it sure feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. Multiple times over sometimes. I feel like I've made this armor about 3 different times now.
Sure.
And thankfully, it doesn't quite get old. I know that Verizon recently offered me, you know, my first free pay-per-view movie if I want it. And it's like, you know, I could watch Thor and get some screenshots for my costume.
It would make things a lot easier.
It's kind of weird. As cosplayers, we don't always necessarily look at movies just for the entertainment factor. We look at it for getting screenshots for our costumes. It's like, I love this movie.
Anyway.
Pause it there. Okay. Okay. Mocha's like, okay.
Oh God! Yeah, I'm working on a piece Kang from the Undiscovered Country because you know he's bald, and he's a bald Klingon. Like, okay, perfect. So
perfect.
I've played that thing I don't know how many times and captured screenshots and kind of watched the way the costume flows and just to see what's and of course the few rare shots you get of the back of a piece so you can see what the heck is going on in the back and what's attached. Where's the damn zipper?
Is there a zipper at all?
Yeah.
I am so grateful for Star Trek and Star Wars fans because they're one of the few who will like post everything that they find online from any type of exhibit that goes on. Like all of my costume shots for Amidala were based off of a fashion exhibit from like 8 years ago where they had all the dresses out. So I was like, perfect shot of the back, perfect shot of the emblem.
Right.
Yes. None of it from the movie because you can't see the back of the movie at all.
Same with Malgus, right? I mean, that's an animated character, so it's not like anybody ever made it. But Sideshow started making a figure, actually.
Yep.
And they had a life-size figure at Comic-Con a couple of years back before I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I took pictures like crazy. I was just
lifting
up the cape and taking pictures behind it because it was the first time I could see what's really going on.
I did that with my Amidala doll. That's how I got my petticoat figured out, because I just lifted up the dress, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea. That's not dirty at all. It's a Barbie, basically. It's got nothing under
nothing
there. It's
there,
fine. Yeah. It's fine. I'd be more concerned about the Sideshow collectible.
A little more detailed, yeah.
Yeah, just a bit.
You don't mind if I take this off the cost? No, no, wait a minute.
No, it's fine. All right, Amber, it is officially past 1 hour.
Yep, and this is going to end up being part one, I think. And
cool.
I can pre-film the rest of it. You can see there I've now tied it on at the halter top. And you can see how it actually drew in a little bit. You can see the bump.
Yeah.
And this is to help me keep the curve, which I'm going to have to smooth this part out right here where I can see it, you know, bulging. That's just my particular shape and back.
Are you going to trim the points, the overlap points, to have a flat hit? Or are you, okay.
Well,
I'll need to
trim some of it here, and then I'll need to redraw the curve that goes around here because it doesn't overlap correctly anymore, which I can correct for some of that with paper mache as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what the inside of the armor looks like. So some of the overlap I may end up keeping just for integrity's sake because it's an extra layer on a seam.
Yeah, makes sense.
We'll see what happens when I go to paper mache. I probably need to reheat form this because I really don't want this pointing into my underside when I sit because
right
now it's just kind of flopping over the back there and it should be straight like that.
Ouch, yeah.
At least I'm not making it out of aluminum.
That would suck.
It could be a lot worse.
Well, that's the thing you learn after only one costume. I should really design this so I can sit down.
And go to the bathroom.
And go to the bathroom and bend over, right?
That's always my concern. How fast can I get in and out of it?
Go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
If you cannot do any one of those things, I can tell you from experience that it's very miserable.
And then lately, being able to get in and out of a convention floor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they need to see your face or if you need to show something, that I've started to make sure I have a pocket or something where I can put my badge.
Exactly.
And a lot of conventions make you wear the badge openly at all times now anyway.
Right.
And it's just like, ah. Oh.
It's like, come on. Can we just, like, throw it across our back for a picture?
Yeah.
At least it's not the wristbands of Anime Fest from a couple years ago.
They still have these for Dallas Comic Con where it's like either a bright orange or a neon green, and you're like, oh, my God. Really? This doesn't match anything. No one's going to replicate it, that's for sure.
True. And with that, we will draw this part of the episode to a close. You will see part two of Amor's Armory next time. And we will also be reporting all about AllCon, since it will be just about that time in 2 weeks. Woo-hoo. If you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, you're welcome to contact us at all of our social media.
Which will be here and here, like it always is.
Indeed. And also, if you guys would like to send us in progress pics of your cosplay, you can just tag us on Facebook, and that way we can have a look and we can always share them with the audience. I know that we've had someone PMing with us on Facebook recently. Since I don't have his permission, I'm not giving his name, but he's been showing me pictures of his armoring build, and we've been talking back and forth about armoring. So we're very approachable people.
Yes,
so
you are.
feel free to chat with us about your own costume making. So we'll say goodbye until next time.
And thank you, Alan, for joining us. We appreciate all your info and giving us some extra stuff that we probably didn't even think about. At least it'll help Amber.
Again, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.